Turn in our Father's Word, the Bible, this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Give you a little time to find that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos.' Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Michael couldn't have known when he chose the hymn, "Jesus Loves Me," that he was going to hit precisely where I am this morning in this portion of God's Word. It has everything to do with a question that I've probably used this question at times, and I know I've been on the receiving end of this question numerous times. And the question is this: when are you going to grow up? You ever heard that? You ever heard that directed toward you? You don't have to answer that. I think I've used it from time to time with maybe my children. That is, what we're asking is, based on the fact that you're an adult, it's time to begin to act like an adult, to make choices that adults would make, to begin to think like an adult, to begin to live your life like an adult. But we have a divided church at Corinth. Paul is writing this letter to this divided church, and they were divided over a lot of different issues. But Paul gets right down to the real, we say the crux of the matter. He gets right down to the nitty-gritty. He tells, when he writes this portion, what he's doing is he's saying, here's your real problem. Here's what you really need to understand. And he might ask the question, just like we said earlier, when are you going to grow up? Spiritually speaking, to begin to think like a mature believer, to begin to talk like a mature believer, and to begin to make your choices in life like a mature Christian ought to make. With that in mind, as a simple introduction, let's bow together in prayer and ask the great teacher to teach us, and let's launch into this passage and see if it does make sense to our human minds. Father, we know it's a supernatural act when we understand something that you have written in the Bible, because this book is a living book. It's a spiritual book, and it must be taught in a spiritual way. And our great teacher is not a human teacher, but the Holy Spirit, who is the only one capable of teaching our human spirits, those human spirits that have been made alive because of our faith in Jesus Christ, your living Word. But Father, what we really need is for your Word to grip our lives and to begin to change our minds, to begin to change the way we think. And ultimately, because it changes our thoughts, our words follow. It changes how we talk to each other, husband to wife and wife to husband, and parents to children and children to parents. church members to each other, how we communicate, and ultimately the choices we make in life, what we do with our lives, all flavored and colored by the fact that we have taken in a sufficient amount of the Bible. We have grown up spiritually, and now we're able to function as mature believers on planet Earth. Help us to see the problem here this morning, Father, with the Church of Corinth, and help us to focus in on the correction of the problem. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes here in verse 1, he starts off, "And I, brethren." Now that brethren is a term of endearment. You need to circle that if you have a pencil or a pen. Paul is addressing his remarks to believers. Now, sometimes there are portions of God's Word talking to unbelievers, telling unbelievers how to be saved. This is not one of those times. He's talking to Christians. Paul is writing to Christians. Now, these Christians are out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, and he's going to pinpoint the reason they're out of fellowship. But he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people." That is, as to Christians, as to believers. Remember, there's several different ways to divide the human race. But according to the Bible, we can be divided as either in a spiritual category, that is, those who have the Holy Spirit living inside, or those in a carnal or fleshly category, a natural category, those who do not have the Spirit of God living inside. If you're here this morning, you're in one of those two categories. Either you have the Spirit of God living in you because you're a born-again, regenerated child of the living God, or you do not have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You are a natural man, a soulish man. The only way for a natural man to become a spiritual man is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the moment you do that, you're born of God. But Paul is addressing, this is the amazing thing here. He's talking to believers, but he's talking to them like they're what? Unbelievers. You're acting like those who don't even know Christ. You're acting like the unsaved. Paul says, I don't know what category to put you in. Not as spiritual people, but as carnal, fleshly, that is fleshly acting. Now, those of us who are spiritual people, from time to time, we can revert back to the flesh, right? I don't get many amens when I say that from Baptists. I don't understand that. But we can. We can act fleshly. And even to the point that we can act like an unbeliever. I mean, those who are non-Christians could watch our life and never tell the difference. But as to carnal, and then he says, as to babes in Christ. What are babies like? Have you been near the nursery lately? Babies act like babies, don't they? See, when we're born into God's family, spiritually, we're born into God's family in a very similar way to when we're born physically. We come into God's family as babes in Christ. It's little brephos, little infants in Christ. But it's God's design that we move on to maturity, that we grow up and become profitable to God. But it's a tragedy when we very comfortably stay a babe in Christ. It takes two things to grow to maturity spiritually. It takes time, obviously. Got to have time. And it takes teaching. You got to have spiritual food. You got to take in a sufficient amount of God's Word and process it and categorize it. And then God's Word begins to change how we think, and how we talk, and how we act, how we live. We begin to mature. We begin to grow up spiritually. But a tragedy happens when you've been given time and teaching, and yet you fail to what? Mature. You fail to grow up. And that's exactly what's happened here. Now, babies have a tendency, would you say, to be a little selfish? Been around the nursery, like I said lately, they have a tendency to be selfish. This is my toy. It's not yours. You can't have it. Now, Baptists never act that way, do they? This is my pew. This is my seat. You can't have it. Well, it's getting a little touchy, isn't it? This is our carpet. You can't run on this carpet. You can't play in here. You can't mark on the walls in here. It's our stuff. And babies are easily deceived. They're easily tricked, aren't they? But Baptists are not easily tricked. They don't follow cunningly devised fables. They don't listen to false teachers on the media, do they? They're very discerning, aren't they? Not if they're babies. They're easily deceived. And they lack stability. Listen, they're happy one minute and what? Very, very sad the next second. And they lack proportion. They fuss over little things, right? They act like children. That's what's happening here at Corinth. And then he says in verse 2, he says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. That is, I fed you a steady diet of the milk of the Word. Now, 1 Peter 2:2 tells us, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up. There's a time when babies need milk, right? They need those little elementary portions of God's Word. John 3:16, verses that we love so dearly. Those little passages that we learn early on. Little songs, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. But there's to come a time when we grow beyond that. We grow up and become mature. Paul says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. I begin to mature. But the tragedy here is this group had been given time and teaching, and yet they failed to grow up. Here's the real rub. He says, look in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. That is, that solid food is the deeper truths in the Word of God. Some of those amazing truths. Sometimes we catch but a glimpse of the truth that's there, but they're there. They're the deeper truths of Scripture. He says, here's the deal. For until now, you were not able to receive it. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Now notice, here's the rub. And even now, you are still not able. Paul had been there for 4.5 to 5 years teaching the Bible. He'd been teaching the same group of people day after day, line after line, word by word, the Word of God. They had been given time, they had been given teaching, and they still didn't grow up. There was still, we're going to see that, still fussing and fighting and bickering in the body. They were acting like children. Look in verse 3. For you are still fleshly acting. You are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? It's their behavior. They were behaving just like unbelievers behave. There was no difference. You could canvass that crowd and you couldn't tell the good guys from the bad guys. They all looked quite the same. And even the good guys, even the believers, were acting like unbelievers. Because they were jealous. That's that word envy. They were jealous of one another. And that word strife is noisy bickering. Now, it's one thing to think something about someone, you know, think some harsh things about someone in the body of Christ. But it's another thing when those thoughts kind of erupt into words and then into actions. You don't speak to each other. You don't sit on the same side of the auditorium. Perish the thought. Baptists would never do that. Come to the service and sit on one side. I'll not sit on that other side because so-and-so's over there. And we haven't spoken to them for 10 years. And if you go back and track down why it happened, it's something simple. Like my kid shoved your kid down 10 years ago. And I've never gotten beyond that. I don't like you, and I don't care who knows it. That's what's going on here, folks. That's what happens often in local churches. Here's another rub. Let me go a little bit deeper with this. Sometimes it's because you're not dealing with spiritual people. You're dealing with unbelievers. They have never come to faith in Jesus Christ. They don't have God the Holy Spirit living inside of them. They've never understood a word from God's Word. Don't misunderstand. They may be morally good people. There are unbelievers who are morally good people. Wonderful morally good people. Used to have real problems with teenagers that we would lead to Jesus Christ, and they would realize that the most moral person in the community, I mean the person that everybody thought about, he was just a good-natured guy, give you anything that he had, shirt off of his back, just what we call a good old boy, Southern speaking, was not even a believer. Didn't claim to be a believer, because there's a vast difference between morality and spirituality. You can be good moral people, but not be spiritual people. There's a difference. Paul is dealing here with people who claim to know Jesus Christ, and he's writing to them as those who were saved, but they had not grown up. And so what he's really asking here is that question that we ask at the outset, when are you going to grow up and quit the fussing and quit the fighting? When are you going to allow God's Word to change your thoughts? In other words, to become a doer of the Bible. Not merely content to listen to preaching all the time, but begin to order your lives based on the teaching you're getting. That's what he's saying. To begin to live like who you are. That's what he's saying. To begin to translate that teaching into real life, where I begin to make my choices based on what I've learned from God's Word. The Corinthians at this point were not doing it. Now here's the real problem. Look in verse 4. He says, for when one says, I am a Paul, we like Paul's teaching. Boy, he's scholarly. He uses the big words. He has a grasp of Hebrew and Greek. We like his teaching. He gets in depth. We're Paulites. We follow Paul. He's my best preacher. And I'm not going to like any other preacher that comes here unless he's like Paul. Thank you very much. They're divided over that because they're babes in Christ. Well, what about, he says, I am of Apollos. Apollos was one of the greatest communicators in the ancient world among the young church. He was a great communicator. He was skilled at teaching God's word. But he was a far better communicator than Paul. Paul would just get up in front of people and he didn't have any better sense than just to say it and teach it. And some of them were saying, I'm bored to tears. All he does is teach. But when Apollos got up, oh man, he was a silver-tongued orator. He could say it so well and so beautifully. They say, we like him. We're following Apollos. And we're following Paul. And they were divided over what I call preacher worship. Now, we would never do that. It would never happen here. Or would it? He says, are you not carnal? Are you not fleshly? Are you not reverting back to your natural ways? Are you not reverting back to the sin nature that's within you? You haven't grown up. You need to grow up. And then he says, he starts on the cure. Look in verse 5. He says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But, I love the word, ministers. That's the word from which we get the word. It's the word diakonos. Yeah, it's the word deacon. These were ministers. They were deacons. But it goes a little deeper than that. They were servants. It goes a little deeper than that. They were waiters on tables. That's not very illustrious, is it, deacons? They were under-roars. They were slaves of the worst kind. They're the ones who in the body of Christ would clean up the stench. They're the ones in the body of Christ who would get down and dirty. They're the ones in the body of Christ who would protect the pastor so that the pastor could teach the Word of God. They would look out for his blind spots. They would tell him when he was doing things or saying things that he shouldn't do or say. They were guardians of the body of Christ, but they were servants. They served the living God. I love what Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 12. He went through a list of super spiritual people, that chapter 11 of all of those wonderful saints that are mentioned there. He goes through a whole list of tremendously mature believers throughout the years. And then he said, we are surrounded with such a great a cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, who've walked with the Savior. He said, therefore, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here's the key. He says, looking unto Jesus. That's what servants do. Servants serve Him. Servants look to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what we're called to do as believers. We follow one Lord. We don't follow one pastor, one human being. We follow one Savior, one Lord. We focus on Him. And it's interesting that Ephesians 4 tells us that Jesus Christ is still carrying out His ministry, even though He's seated at this moment at the right hand of the Father in heaven, He's still doing His work on the earth. You know why? Because His body is here. And if you know Jesus Christ, you're a part of His body. And this is how He carries out His ministry. He ministers His will through the body to the body. That's when He operates through you and He gifts you and equips you to serve other people in the body of Christ. He's carrying out His ministry in the body of Christ. Isn't that fascinating? He's still doing it. Even today, He's still doing it. His ministry still goes on the earth just like He's here. Well, He is here. That's the way it's done. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, He is our head. He's the one that we look to. And then he says, continuing in verse 6, he said, These are ministers through whom you believed. Let's look at that in verse 5. As the Lord gave to each one. I love that. Watch this. God equips pastors and deacons and all of believers in the body of Christ. He equips us in a special way, and He gives us a supernatural ministry to perform. But ultimately, it's not us accomplishing that, right? It's God who accomplishes it. He's working His will through us on your behalf. And you're working His will to us also on His behalf. We have one Lord. We have one overseer that we're responsible for. And the rest of us are just servants. We're slaves. We're communicators. We're called to serve the body. That gives no place in our mind for arrogance or pride or ego. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm accomplishing spiritually. No, can't say that because it's God who works through us. And Paul continues here. He says in verse 6, he said, I planted. This is Paul. I planted the seed of the gospel. The gospel is a supernatural seed. It gets into the soil of our mind. When we, those of us who communicate the gospel, when we tell you from God's word what the good news is, good news begins with bad news, doesn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the good news is that God Himself paid that sin debt of death. He died in our place. And the good news is how He did it. One day He took on flesh at Bethlehem of Judea that first Christmas morning. And He came into this world. And He lived a sinless life. For 33 years He did no sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. And the wages of sin is what? Death. So He had no sin to pay for. He had no sin to die for. When He went to the cross, He didn't die for His sin. He had none. He died to pay for our sin. And the moment we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, He places to our account eternal life. He makes us children of the living God. He gives us judicially a righteousness which we need to have life. He does it as a free gift. He gives us life. Would you say that's good news? That's good beyond anything our human minds can imagine news. It's great news. Well, see, it's like spiritual seed, though. When you hear that, God puts it in the soil of your mind. He puts it in there. And then at His timing, He germinates that seed. And we are born again. We are given God's life at that moment. He gives us the faith to place in Jesus Christ. We place our faith in Him. We're born of Him. That's supernatural work. Whose work is it? It's His work. I can't make that seed germinate. Only God can do that. Paul says, I planted. I planted the seeds. And then he said, and Apollos came along and he watered. That is, he came along and he reaped a lot of the fruit that Paul set up. He came in and he picked the fruit. Paul set him up, gave him the gospel. Here comes Apollos. He preached the same truth. People came to faith in Jesus Christ under Apollos, but really it was Paul's planting the seed. They were working together like a team. This is the ultimate team concept. The ministry of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but notice, but God who gives the increase. It's God who makes ministry happen. So where's the boasting then? Where's the envy? Where's the jealousy? It's God who gives the increase. It's God who makes it happen. It's not us. We can't make ministry happen. Well, I wish I could, because if I could, this place would be packed this morning. Standing room only. That's my desire. Ephesians 4:14. I want just to read this for you. It says, verse 14, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. We need to grow up as believers. When a baby is a baby, we cut them a lot of slack, do we not? They're going to act selfish. They're going to be easily deceived. They're going to lack proportion, lack stability. We say, that's just a baby. Babies act like babies. But the tragedy is, when they're 21, 25, 30, 40, and they still act like babies. How do we respond? That's tragic. And it's my impression that there are many babies sprinkled within the body of Christ who are still acting just like babies. There's a time, as Hebrews says, listen to Hebrews. It says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. Does that sound familiar? For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They've grown up and become profitable to God. Paul says, verse 7, this takes care of all envy, all ego. He says, so then neither he who plants is anything. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, in the big picture, I'm nothing. Boy, I've really absorbed in my life, attempted to, the 13 letters of Paul and the vast knowledge that God has given us through his pen. And I'm saying, he's nothing? Boy, I highly revere him. Outside of the Lord Jesus, I hope one day to walk up to him and talk to the great Apostle Paul. Looking forward to that meeting. But he says, I'm nothing. In the big picture, I'm nothing. I'm just a communicator. For he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's all of God, Paul says. God is orchestrating the whole scene. He's doing it. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters, here it is, are one. What he's calling for at the church of Corinth is that you, church, be one church, one body. Not splintered little factions sprinkled all over the auditorium, but one body, one ministry. There's a whole lot we could accomplish as one body if we function together as a team. Everybody knowing their part, everybody performing their ministry, and yet we're one body in Christ. And then he says, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, his own work. Look at Galatians 6. We just looked at this. For those of you who come on Wednesday night, we're closed right here. If you remember Wednesday night, we're in Galatians chapter 6. And I think it was Ewella that asked a question about this verse. That's why it brought it into my mind. But it has everything to do with what's being taught. In verse 4 of chapter 6 of Galatians, the apostle writes, but let each one examine his own work. Now, we are to function together as a body. We're a body in Christ, one body. But each one of us has a role to play. Each one of us has a responsibility to perform. And if we fail to perform that ministry, the entire body suffers because of it. And then he will receive, will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. That is, the Apostle Paul said earlier here, we all have a responsibility. We all have a work to perform. We're given that work by God himself. And look in verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load, his own backpack, his own human responsibility. Now let's put it all in perspective. We come into the body of Christ as babes in Christ, but then we're subject to God's sanctification process. He begins to move us by intake of the Word of God and by exercising our spiritual muscles in the body of Christ. He begins to mature us. And we go past the point of being a babe and we become a mature believer. And we find our ministry comfortably in the body of Christ where we minister on God's behalf to other people. And the whole body, because of each one bearing his own responsibility before God, the whole body begins to pulsate with the life of God. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's fun as a human being, as a pastor teacher, to sit back and watch it happen. As you minister to each other, as you carry out God's divine calling in your life, because you do have a ministry. This place is not the same if you're not here being actively involved in this ministry. There's no second-class citizens in the body of Christ. Everybody has a purpose and a place to serve. But we're to do so from the viewpoint of a mature believer, not a babe in Christ. So what's Paul's admonition to us today? Grow up. Grow up. Become profitable to God. Grow up. Father, thank you for the words of the great Apostle Paul. Thank you for giving to us understanding. We see it in Scripture. We know it's true. And Father, I pray that you would impress upon us the need to move on to maturity, to continually take in a sufficient amount of the Word of God to grow up, to become spiritually productive, to finish the calling that you have in our life, to finish the divine destiny that you've given us, to finish that work of faith that you've given us, because we're all responsible to carry that out, whatever it might be. But never in isolation, Father, are we to work, but we're to work together as a team, as a body, each complementing the other, each magnifying the other. We're to work together as servants, each getting under each other, not asking whom can we teach or whom can we minister to, but asking the question, who can we serve? To whom can we emulate the character of Christ in the body so that the entire body might grow up and become everything that we can be for your glory? Father, help us to use the testimony of the Corinthians as teaching from the Holy Spirit not to go there, not to fail to grow up, not to fail, not to become comfortable as babes in Christ, but to go on and to maturity, to profitability spiritually. Father, may that be the case. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.